Psalms 118. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Psalms 118. We're going to look at verse number 15, and we're just going to read just a few verses. Psalms 118, the Bible says in verse number 15, "The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord." And the title of the message this morning is "Declaring Our Complaint or God's Work." And you know that word "declare," according to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it basically means to make clear. And so I want us to look. I believe God wants us to look at some things when it comes to making clear the works that God has done in our lives. So let's look at that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to come to church, Lord. Thank you for those who decide to come, all those who rode the buses in, Lord. Thank you for those who drove in, Lord, and those who are faithful to the house of God, Lord. I pray you'd bless this time now, Lord. Please, Lord, use me, Lord. Fill me with your power, Lord, and work on our hearts, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's not saved, Lord, never accepted Christ as your Savior, I pray today would be the day they come forward and get saved, get that settled so they can go to heaven, Lord. Do a work in our midst, Lord, and bless the other services going on as well, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. So the book of Psalms is a collection of God-inspired songs. And God uses David and other men of God to write songs of praise to Him. You know, God wants His children to praise Him, and we are commanded to praise Him. In Psalms 117, verse 1, the Bible says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people." In Psalms 33, verse 2, "Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings." Psalm 34, 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Psalm 48, verse 1, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Psalm 98, verse 4, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice, and sing praise." And over again, the Bible tells us and commands us several times that we ought to be praising God and lifting up God in praise. Turn to Psalms chapter 150. I want us to look at this whole chapter together. Psalms 150. The Bible tells us, we'll look at verse number 1, it's a short chapter, we'll read the whole chapter real quick. Psalms 150, verse 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And I'm assuming all of us in here have breath. And therefore, according to the Bible, all of us ought to be praising the Lord. All of us ought to be spending time throughout our day and throughout our week stopping and praising God for what He's done. And God so deserves our praise. He is so good to us. And the man God used to pen Psalms 118 knew that God was good, and he had no doubts that God was good. He knew he wasn't writing songs of praise to the Lord because he was commanded to. He was writing praises to the Lord because he wanted to, and he knew that God was praiseworthy. In Psalms 18, verse 3, the Bible tells us, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." God is worthy of our praise. And the psalmist in 118 knew this. And because the psalmist knew that God was worthy to be praised, and because he knew that God desired to be praised, he made a decision that he was going to declare the works of the Lord and declare praises to Him. Look again in Psalms 118. In verse number 17, the Bible tells us, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." And he decided, hey, I'm going to declare God's works. And again, that word declare, it means to make clear, to make known, to tell explicitly, to manifest or communicate plainly to others by words. So if we're declaring God's works, we're making it very clear, very plain to those around us how good God is to us. And we should be declaring God's goodness to the brethren, to those around us that are saved. We should be declaring to them how good God is to us. In Psalms 22, verse 22, the Bible says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren." the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. In Psalm 66:16, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Those who fear God, those who are saved, we ought to be declaring to our Christian brethren around us, hey, look what God's doing in my life. Look how good God is to me. We ought to be making it clear how good God is to us in our lives. We should be declaring God's goodness to those who are lost. In Psalms 96 verse 3, the Bible says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. We should be declaring how glorious and how wonderful our God is to us, to those in the world that are lost. We should be spending time making it known to others, to our friends that we come in contact with, to our family members. We should make it known to our family how good God is to us. We should be making our church family, those in our church family know, hey, God is good. Our lost coworkers that we see at work that are lost, that aren't saved, we should be showing them, declaring to them, hey, look how good God is to me. Those on our Facebook friends, we shouldn't be going on social media whining about things. We should be declaring how good God is in our lives. And random strangers that we come across with in the world at that store. You know, a lot of times we'll go to the store and we'll ask, you know, hey, how's your day going? Oh, doing pretty good. How's your day going? Well, you know, I'm here. You know, this happened, blah, blah, blah. And we're making it all negative instead of declaring, hey, you know what? God's good to me. And God has done wonderful things to me. And that's a great testimony that we can have amongst a lost world that's headed for hell. If instead of us deciding to declare our works, instead of us deciding to declare God works and make it clear how good God is to us, oftentimes, all of us in here, too often, instead of us declaring how good God is to us, we spend a lot of time declaring how bad life is. We spend a lot of time making it clear to others, this is how bad my life is. This is all the things going on in my life that's wrong. And that would be called complaining. And God hates complaining. We so often make it clear to the world all the things we don't like in our lives. And that's wicked. The Bible, turn to Numbers chapter 11. We all do it. But too often, we overlook all the good things God has done for our lives, and we just focus on the negative. We focus on what's bad, and that's what we make clear to others. We don't make it known to others how good God is to us. We just make it known to others that, hey, our life stinks. Life is horrible. Life is miserable. And that's not how it should be, especially amongst God's people. In Numbers chapter 11, look at verse number 1. The children of Israel, they complained. And look what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. The children of Israel, they began to complain. They were griping about, hey, you know, I wish we could be back in Egypt. Hey, I wish we could, you know, have it like we had it. You know, it was easier back when we were in Egypt than it is now. They were complaining. They were making it clear how rough life was. And God consumed some of them with fire. He killed some of those people that were complaining. And, you know, God, if he sees us constantly complaining about things in our lives, he may just go ahead and decide to take it away, take it out of our lives. No, we could be complaining about our car that it doesn't run properly all the time, and there's always problems with it. God may look at that and say, you know, if you're going to keep on complaining about it, I'll just take it away from you. We won't have a car. We could be complaining about our job. You know, man, my job is always wanting me to work so much, or they don't pay me enough, or whatever it may be. And we could be complaining about how bad our job is so much that God may just decide, you know what, I'll just take the job away from you. You won't have a job. And we need to stop complaining about how rough life is, And start declaring to others and to God and praising God for the good things that he's done for us. And the children of Israel, they had no reason to complain. Their needs were being met. Numbers 11, look again at verse 4. After they complained and God destroyed them with fire, they complained again. In Numbers 11, verse number 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Man, the children of Israel, they're whining, man, there's nothing to eat. All we have is this manna God's given us. And man, we used to, eat all these nice meat that we used to have back in Egypt, and it was so much better in Egypt back when we were in captivity, you know. All we have now is this manna, and what they forgot is that they were being fed. They forgot about the fact that God was providing their needs, and God was making sure they were being fed. He was making sure that they weren't going hungry. And we have zero right to complain. There's no reason a child of God ought to be complaining. God wants His children to praise Him. And listen what the Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. God wants His children to declare God's works. God wants His children to praise the Lord for how good He is. He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. God is longing for the children of God to praise the Lord. And I know for me, He doesn't hear praise for me nowhere near often that He should. And I'm sure most of us in here, He doesn't hear us praising Him as often as He should hear us praising Him. And He deserves our praise. He is worthy of our praise. And the psalmist wasn't going to complain about the problems of his life. And by the way, we all have problems. There's none of us in here that don't have problems. So instead of us focusing on all of our problems and declaring all of our problems and whining about our problems, let's just realize, hey, God's going to take care of us, and we need to realize and come to grips with the fact that life is always going to be full of problems. And Job 14:1, the Bible says, a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And our life is going to be full of trouble, but it doesn't mean we should just complain about it. Because God is good to us, and there's many things that God has done to us that we can declare and we can praise Him for. And the psalmist, in Psalms 118, he spends time declaring all the things that God has done for him. And the things that he declares applies to us as well. Let's look at the things. What should we be declaring? What should we be declaring to others and to the Lord how good God is? Number one, the psalmist declared God's salvation. Look at Psalms 118 and verse number 14. Psalms 118, the Bible says, in verse number 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. And there is no greater work to make known to the many people around us than the work that God did to save our sinful souls. And, you know, we can't forget that before we were saved, our lives were completely bound by sin. In Romans 6:17, the Bible tells us, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. And before we were saved, we were bound by sin. We were the servants of sin. And we were in the grips of sin. And the Bible says that because we were servants of sin, we had to pay the price for sins. And we know the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And because of our sin, we had to pay the price for that sin. And so all of us in here, if you're not saved, you still have this price upon you. But those of us who are saved, we were once headed for hell. We were once bound for hell. But because of the fact that Jesus came to this earth and died for us, He shed His blood for us. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. If Jesus did not come to this earth and didn't shed His blood for us, we would all be bound for hell with no hope, because nothing can ever take our sins away other than Jesus Christ and His blood. And because Jesus died for us, because He shed His blood, if we are to accept Him, and if you're in here and there's a time in your life where you got saved, you accepted Christ as your Savior, then Jesus washed away your sins in His blood, and He washed away my sins in His blood, and He has the power, His blood has the power to do that. Revelation 1:5, the Bible tells us, talking about Jesus Christ, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Because our sins are washed away, we no longer have to pay the terrible price for sin. And you know what's interesting? In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Sin, singular. The wages of just one sin is death. If we live our life and commit just one sin, that's worthy of death. And the scary thing is, if we think about it, we've committed way more than just one sin. I've committed way more than just one sin. You know, that one time when I was younger, I told a lie. Now, that because of that lie, I have to pay the price in hell. But guess what? There's been many other lies I've told since then and before that time. You know, that one time back when I was younger when I disobeyed my mom. You know, there's been many other times other than that, just that one time I disobeyed my mom. But that was the only time I disobeyed my mom. I would still have to pay the price for that one sin, which is death and hell forever. And just one sin is worthy of death. But guess what? In Revelation 1:5, it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, plural, in his own blood. Jesus' blood doesn't just wash away one sin. We don't go to him, get saved, and he washes away. Okay, I'll wash away just that one sin. He washes away every single sin we ever committed. And every sin we are going to commit, he washes those away too. Hey, when Jesus died on the cross, he died way back then. All of us, we were all future to God. All those sins that he died for, they were all future sins. So guess what? If you get saved today, if you're not saved, God will wash away your past sins, your present sins, and all your future sins as well. He's going to wash them all away in his blood. And his blood has the power to do that. And if we're saved, that's one of the greatest works that we can declare to others, is the fact that Jesus washed away our sins with his blood. And one sin equals death and hell. But Jesus' blood equals all sins washed away if we are to accept him as our Savior. And, oh, a Christian, we need to rejoice that we are not going to hell. In Psalms 86, verse 12, the Bible says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And God delivered our souls from hell. And because of that, we have every right, no matter how bad life is, we have zero right to complain. We have every right to be declaring how wonderful God is for the fact that he saved us from hell, because we all deserve hell. But also, not only that, not only can we declare God's salvation, and not only did the psalmist here declare God's salvation, but also number two, we can declare God's mercies. Now look at Psalms 118, verse number 1. Psalms 118, the Bible says in verse number 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say, that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say, that his mercy endureth forever. And we all deserve to be burning in hell forever. But God was merciful and decided to save us. When we accepted him as our Savior, he washed our sins away and extended to us mercy. And now, if you're saved, you don't have to go to hell. And because I'm saved, I no longer have to go to hell. God extended mercy. But guess what? Even though I'm saved, I still sin every day of my life. I'm still going to sin until the day I die, or until the day Jesus comes back. And same with you. If you're saved, you're still a sinner. You're still going to commit sin. But praise the Lord, God is ever merciful. If we are willing to come to God with our sins and confess it to him, and we ask him for mercy, and we do our best to forsake our sins and to turn away from it, he promises to extend us mercy. To turn to Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter 28, many times when we sin, we might ask God to forgive us, but we really, that's all we're doing. We have no intention to turn from that sin. We have no intention to, we make no plans to avoid that sin. If you constantly fall into a sin of looking at something on television that you shouldn't look at, and you ask God to forgive you, but then we make no plans. There's nothing that we do to try to avoid that sin. Maybe it's a movie that we watch that has something wrong in it, and we don't even try to get rid of that movie. We're not doing our best to forsake that sin. God needs us to forsake our sins, and he promises that he'll extend to us mercy and not chasten us, perhaps to the extent that we deserve. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And there will never be a time God will not be willing to give us mercy if we plead for it. God will not run out of mercy. It is replenished daily. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible tells us, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he is always merciful and is always willing to extend to us mercy. And we need that mercy every day, because there's every day we wake up and we're going to sin. Sometimes, you know, we're sinners by nature, but also by choice. And there's times where we do something we know we shouldn't have done it. We know in our mind, the Holy Spirit is telling us, don't do that, but then we do it anyways. And God is willing to give us mercy in those times where we sin willfully. And that's something we can declare. We can declare to others, hey, God is so merciful to me. I do not deserve what He has given me, and I deserve to be punished. I deserve to be in hell, but God is merciful to me. We can make that known to the Lord, to others, how merciful God is to us. Another thing that the psalmist made clear to others, he made clear God's salvation. He made clear God's mercies. But also, number three, he declared God's response. And look at Psalms 118, verse number 5. Psalms 118, verse 5, the Bible says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Bible says the Lord is on our side, and the Bible says that He will answer our prayers. And no doubt there's many people in here who have prayed, and God has answered your prayers. There's prayers that God has answered of mine. And too often, we forget about the fact that God has answered our prayers, and instead we will complain about, you know, how life is right now, and we'll worry about what our situation is, but we forget about the fact that, hey, remember those other times that God came through and answered those prayers for us? And we need, you know, when God answers our prayers, we should go out and tell others about how, you know, those at work, we can tell them, you know, look what God did. I prayed for this, and God answered that prayer, and only God could have done that. And that is a powerful testimony to the lost world. And in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, the Bible tells us that there's never a time where God cannot hear our prayers. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. There's never a time God can't hear us. He always has the power to hear us. There may be times He chooses not to hear us because of the way we're living, the way we're acting, but there's never a time where He cannot hear us. There's never a time where we go to the Lord and we sin and we call on God and ask God to forgive us of our sins. There's never a time where He just cannot hear us. He always has the power to hear us, and He will hear us if we go to Him and with a right heart, and we go to Him asking Him, and He will answer our prayers. And when He does, we need to remember that. We need to make note of it. And that's something I failed to do. Our bus route was praying for 50 on our bus last Sunday. God answered our prayer. He gave us 58. You know, what I ought to do is I should write that down somewhere. That way I can look back. Maybe next time when we have a carnival and I'm thinking, oh man, I really hope we can hit our goals. You know, instead of worrying about it, I can look, you know what? God answered our prayer last time. We hit our goals. What makes you think that He won't do it this time? And I can be going to others and telling others, you know, look what God did on our bus route. Look what the answers of prayer that God has given. We should be declaring to others God's answers to prayer. And number four, we should be declaring God's trustworthiness. Now look at Psalms 118, verse number 8. The psalmist talks about how God is trustworthy. In Psalms 118, verse number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And we can trust God with our problems. He will not let us down. In Psalm 62, verse 8, the Bible tells us, trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And past trials that we've gone through, we've all had past trials that God brought us through, and you know that works, that brings about experience in our lives, that knowing that God will bring us through. And what we ought to be doing is declaring how that we can trust God. Maybe we go through a trial and there's family members that know about it and they're thinking, man, you know, how are you able to move on with life? How are you able to go about with a smile and still have joy in your life before this trial came about? And you could tell them, hey, because I'm trust the Lord and I know that He's going to work this out according to His will. And I know that all things work together for the Lord. And we can be declaring to others how He is trustworthy and how we can trust Him and we can count on Him, because the world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have someone they can put 100% trust in, and that person will never let them down. But we do. We have the Lord, and He will never let us down, and we can always trust Him. And we should be declaring to others how God is trustworthy. And the psalmist was declaring to others God's salvation. The psalmist decided to declare to others how God is merciful. The psalmist was declaring to others how God answers prayer. The psalmist was declaring to others how He's trustworthy. And number five, the psalmist, and so should we. We can declare God's day that He made for us. Look at Psalms chapter 118, verse number 24. There's a song out of this verse. This is a familiar verse. Some of you may know it. Look at Psalms 118, verse number 24. I'm going to read this a little different. In verse number 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will complain and be sad in it." Is that what it says? It says, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." And that, and you know, that's how I am. That's how we all are. We'll wake up and we'll think, "Man, I got to do this today and do this and blah blah blah." And we start, you know, thinking about how we feel or whatever it may be. And we start complaining about the day. We start complaining about how bad life is. We start complaining about the problems that we have. But God wants us to wake up and rejoice over the fact that He gave us a new day to be alive. Hey, He gave us a new day to please Him. He gave us a new day to tell someone about the Lord. He gave us a new day to encourage somebody. He gave us a new day to live for the Lord. And we can decide when we wake up, we can either wake up and start complaining and start being all sad and depressed because of what's going on in our lives and because of what will be going on in our lives. Or we can wake up and say, "Hey, God gave me a new day to live. I could be dead right now." And yes, we would be in heaven, but think about the people we'd leave behind. You know, think about the things we wouldn't be able to do anymore for the Lord. And I hope you have a desire to want to do something for the Lord. And if you do, you probably don't want to die too soon because you would like to do more for the Lord. And but if we die, there's nothing else we can do for the Lord. But if God gives us another day, that's another day we have to do something for the Lord. We should be rejoicing and being happy over the fact that God gave us a new day. That's something we can be declaring to others. You know, maybe we go to work and everyone drags in and everyone's kind of have a long face. "Oh, it's Monday again. Here we go again." You know, whatever. And, you know, we could be going in. We could be singing a song. You know, we could be happy. We could be excited about the day. And yes, we may not be looking forward to what we have to do that day. We may be thinking, "Oh, man, I got to do this. Oh, good grief." In my case, "Oh man, I got a test tomorrow. Oh man, I got this. You know, I got this paper I got to write." You know, whatever. And you know, we may be thinking about all the different things that we have going on, but that doesn't mean we have to just go around like this all day. You know, being all upset and all depressed. You know, we can go and we can be happy. We can be joyful, and we can be singing songs that can help lift our spirits up and rejoicing over the day that God gave us. And that was number five. Number six, we should be declaring God's goodness. And, you know, let's face it, God is very good to us. And if you deny that, then you don't know the God of the Bible, because God is very good to us. Look at Psalms 118, verse number 29, the last verse of this chapter. Psalms 118, verse number 29, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And God is good. He saved us. He is merciful to us every day. He answers our prayers. He is trustworthy. We can trust Him. He gives us new days. He is our, the Bible says that He is our strength. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "The Lord is my strength." And God will give us strength day to day to do what it is we need to do. He's our help. In verse 13, "Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me." And God will help us. You know, there's been times in my life where there's something going on and I'm not sure, you know, I want to do better in a certain area, and I think, "Man, how can I do better in this area?" And there's been times I've asked God to help me, and there's been times He helped me, and I think, "Wow, you know, maybe a month ago I would have been able to do this, but now I am able to do this, and God has helped me." And God will help us, and He wants to help us. If there's a difficulty in your life, something you're trying to do that you have a tough time with, ask God to help you. He can help us. The Bible says that He corrects us. In verse number 18, look what the Bible says: "The Lord hath chastened." Me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death." And you know, chastening's not a very good thing. We don't want to be chastened. You know, I never like getting spankings from my mom, but when God chastens us, He's showing us that He loves us, and He's showing us that, "Hey, I want you to be in a place in your life where I can bless you, and I can love you, and I can use you." And we should be declaring to God and praising God over the fact that He will correct us and won't allow us to get so far in sin to where our hearts can be so hard to where the Bible talks about, you know, with that without remedy. And we should be thanking God that He tries to get our attention. And we just simply need to get over the petty things, or even, it's not always a petty issue, there may be major issues in your life. There may be major things going on, you know, major trials. But God wants us to learn to rejoice through our trials. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to cast our burdens on Him and cast all of our care upon Him. And He wants us to go through life with a smile on our face, rejoicing and declaring to others how good God is to us. And, you know, what will it be? We all have two decisions to make. We all have two choices to make. Every day we can either, when we wake up, decide, hey, you know what, today I'm just going to complain. You know, I'm just going to tell everybody how bad life is. I'm going to tell them how my car is leaking oil. I'm going to tell them how, you know, I'm tired of my job because they're not paying me enough. You know, I'm going to tell them how, you know, there's a leak at my house and I got to fix it when I get home. I'm going to tell them how I'm tired all the time because I got to get up early and then I get home late and there's still things to do when I get home. So then I'm going to bed really late, not getting much sleep. So I'm just going to, you know, declare, make it clear to everybody how bad my life is. I'm going to make it clear to the lost people who are headed for hell, to the lost people that maybe they're not so sure about the Lord. Maybe they're kind of skeptical. They're watching us. Remember the message preacher priests that were living epistles, known and read of all men? They're watching us. They're seeing how we respond to our trials. And they see us, man, that guy, that's all he does is complain. That's all he does is whine about. And you know what's sad? There's people, I work at McDonald's. There's people I see at McDonald's. There's a lot of people out there I don't think are saved. And some of the people that maybe that are nice, maybe that are in good spirits, they may be saved, but there also are people that come through. And it's sad. There's people that seem to have more joy and seem to be more happy and seem to have a better outlook on life that may not even be saved than Christians who are saved, who are going to heaven, who are not going to hell, but yet they complain, but yet they always whine and gripe about how bad life is. And it's kind of sad to think, man, there's people headed for hell that seem to have more joy than the Christian who is headed for heaven. It shouldn't be that way. That's not how it should be. It ought to be that Christians, and again, we all have problems. We all have difficulties. It doesn't mean, you know, we don't have to be, you know, weird and have a smile real big everywhere we go. But it also doesn't mean we should go around complaining about how bad life is. So what's, you know, our decision? Two decisions. There's three. One decision, we can decide, you know what, I'm just going to go about complaining. I'm just going to go about telling how bad life is because, you know, life just stinks. Another decision is we can decide, hey, you know, I'm going to tell others how good God is. And there's also a third decision we can make. You know, maybe we don't complain. Maybe we don't go around telling others how bad life is. But also, on the other hand, we may not say anything about how good God is. We may just keep quiet about it. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, Thou knowest, I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I had declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. Hey, this person said, hey, I'm not keeping quiet. I'm making sure I'm telling others how good You are to me. I'm making sure that the people that I work with that are lost, I'm making sure I'm telling them how good You are to me so that maybe they'll get saved. Hey, those other Christians I'm around, I'm not discouraging them by telling them how bad life is. I'm encouraging them or challenging them by telling them how good God is in my life. And the psalmist wasn't going to keep quiet. Maybe we don't complain much. Maybe you're the type of person that doesn't complain much. Or maybe you just don't like complaining. Maybe you try to refrain from complaining. But at the same time, are you telling others how good God is to your life? And you know, we have these tracts that we give out, and these are wonderful. And I hope you pass tracts out. If you don't pass tracts out, make a decision today to start passing these out everywhere you go. The gospel's on here. There's stories of people getting saved just because they had a gospel tract to read. At Lone Star, we had chapel, and there was a man who preached, and he spoke mostly Spanish, a little English, but he went ahead and preached in Spanish because he was more comfortable there, and a guy interpreted. But he told us that, hey, he got saved. He's preaching today, and he's a pastor. He got saved because someone left a tract. I don't know if it was on his car or on his door, but he got a tract and he read it and got saved. God can use these tracts. They're a wonderful tool. But are we, you know, a tract can't do what our testimony can do. A tract can't, you know, a tract might tell them what God can do for them. But what's even more powerful is us telling what God has done for us and what He can do for you as well. You know, if you go to work and you see the same people at work every day, has there ever been a time you brought up a conversation about the Lord? You know, how long have you been working there? Have you been working there 5 years? And not one time you've never brought up the name Jesus? Not one time you never asked them if they go to church? Not one time you never asked them about, you know, hey, are you going to heaven when you die? Hey, you know, give them a track. You know, plant that seed. If you work somewhere and you know there's people there that are lost, or maybe you don't know. You know, everyone's either saved or lost. It's one or the other. And we need to ask, find that out. Go to them. You know, I'm nobody, but God has allowed me to lead some co-workers to the Lord. And you know, sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it's kind of weird. Sometimes we both go off at the same time. They're headed to their car, and so I'll stop them and say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And so I'll ask them, and they'll get saved. And there's some that rejected, some that said they don't believe, some that were already saved, but there's also been some that have gotten saved. And, you know, how many people have come to your job, worked, and maybe quit, or maybe found a different job, and you never gave them a track? You never told them about the Lord. You know, why don't you challenge yourself, Lord, I'm going to do my best to declare how good you are to me, to those I work with, or to my family, or whatever it may be, so they can possibly get saved. Or at least maybe, if anything, maybe I can tell them, give them my testimony, and maybe you'll begin to work on their heart, Lord. And then maybe I can invite them to the church. Maybe they'll come and maybe they'll get saved. And you know, it's our responsibility, those lost souls that are at our job, it's our responsibility to tell them about the Lord. If we're the only saved person there, it's no one else's responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility to go to your job and tell your coworkers about the Lord. It's your job to tell your coworkers. It's my job to tell my coworkers about the Lord. And we can tell them, start off, maybe give them a track. Just give them a track. Maybe ask them if they go to church somewhere another time. Maybe another time, tell them about something God did for you. They may not think, you know, not tell them, hey, we had a carnival at our church the other day, and you know, we 18 people got saved. They may look at you and be like, 18 people got saved? What in the world are you talking about? Hey, yeah, that's great, cool. They may not understand what we're talking about, but hey, we can plant that seed. We can arouse their curiosity, and maybe one day, maybe they'll come to us and ask us, say, hey, you know what? You know, why does it seem like you're always so happy all the time? Hey, you know what? Why does it seem like, you know, you always talk about people getting saved at your church? What are you talking about? What do you mean getting saved? And, you know, or maybe they'll ask you, you know, how is it that you seem like you never have any problems? You tell them, well, I have problems. It's just that I want to declare how good God is to me. I don't want to complain about my problems. And what's our decision? Are we just going to complain about how bad life is? Or are we going to decide to declare how good God is to us? Maybe we don't complain, but are we going to keep silent? The Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. We need to decide that we're going to praise God. And don't just declare to others how good God is. Go to God and tell Him. I should be going to God more often and tell Him, God, how good He is to me. You know, many times when we go to prayer, we might thank Him for one thing, and then we go on with all the things that we want. And we spend very little time thanking God for how good He is to us. And we ought to be thanking Him. And maybe you say, you know, I want to declare God's works more. You know, I want to be more apt to go to God and be thanking Him for how good He is to me. I want to be more apt to tell others around me how good God is to me. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 73, something that can help us be more apt to declare how good God is to us. In Psalm 73, verse number 28, the Bible says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. The Bible says that we should be drawing closer to the Lord. If we want to be more apt to praise Him, then we need to draw closer to Him. And in Psalm chapter 22, the Bible tells us in verse number 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Those that seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. If we're seeking God and we're having a walk with Him, and we have a relationship with Him, we're going to be more apt to declare God's works and how good God is to our lives. And you maybe think, well, it doesn't seem like God is very good. Hey, well, how good are you to God? Are you living a life in sin? Am I living a life in sin? If we are, you know, the Bible talks about draw nigh to God, and I'll draw nigh to you. But then after that, it talks about, you know, cleanse yourselves, you know, get right about your sin. We need to go to God and get right about our sin so we can draw close to Him. And once we're right with our sin, we can begin to walk with Him. We can begin to read our Bibles. We can begin to listen to preaching throughout the week. If the only time God is ever brought up in our thoughts, and God is ever brought up in our songs that we sing, and God's ever brought up in our conversation is when we're at church on Sundays, then throughout the week, we might think about God a few times, but we're not going to be declaring God's works, and we're going to be ashamed of Him. But if we're drawing close to the Lord, we're not going to be ashamed of Him, and we're going to want to tell others how good God is in our lives. So let's not complain. Let's not keep silent. Let's declare His goodness in our lives. And by the way, like we talked about, God is so good to every single one of us, so much so that He died for us. Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins. And if you're here today and there's never been a time in your heart where you accepted Christ as your Savior, maybe you remember one time you prayed or something, but you don't really know what you did. Maybe you were young, or maybe you don't remember a time whatsoever where you accepted Christ as your Savior. Why not come today and get that settled so you can know for sure that you're going to heaven? And that's something you can begin to declare to others. Hey, God saved my soul from hell. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. And here in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And when we do, if you're not saved, why not just step out? Come to the front and let someone show you how you can be saved. And that would be a wonderful day in your life to know that you're saved, to know that you're going to heaven. And us Christians, let's decide today that we're going to stop complaining. It's easy, very easy to do. But we're going to ask God to help. Lord, please forgive me for complaining. Please help me to not complain. Help me to not focus on the negative. And let's ask God to help us praise Him more, and let's ask God to help us declare to others how good He is in our lives.